have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. Actually, welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the Something to Say radio show. And happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there that's listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope you like this on the night before Thanksgiving, because if you do... well, actually, if you don't, we're just going to play it twice anyway. So you'll get to hear it 2 days in a row, and maybe even a third day on Saturday. Who knows? Who knows what we're going to do? All right. Boy, I'll tell you what, though. I've noticed over the last 2 days down being downtown here in the CBD for work that the Bills Mafia has 100% infiltrated New Orleans. I was outside earlier, and there was Yeah, exactly. There was a big group of them, and they had flags, and they were marching down Carondelet, heading towards the quarter. Yipes. Just yipes. They're loud and they're proud. Get used to it, I guess. And unfortunately for us, I don't know if you even got a chance to see it yet, but the injury report was just released for the Saints, and not good news.
No.
Looks like we're going to be without Alvin Kamara for another game, and Ryan Ramczyk for another game, and let's see, who else was there?
Well, I saw just a little while ago that Mark Ingram is now questionable. I don't know what's going on. I have him on my fantasy team, and so the app sent a notification saying that he was questionable. I didn't have time to look at it, though.
Marcus Davenport's also out. But, you know, Ingram being questionable is at least a step in the right direction, because he didn't practice Monday and he didn't practice. Well, you know, that was something I don't understand, that they didn't even have practice on Monday, but he was considered a non-participant.
Yeah, there were a number of them. There was some other team that I saw as well that didn't practice on Monday. And they said it's projected that he would have been did not practice or questionable or whatever else. Like, what? Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before in my life. Now I've seen it for the Saints and some other team on the same day. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's very strange. And I don't get it at all. Let's see here. What else? K-Pass, he was ruled out as well. So I mean, that leaves, I guess Granderson as a defensive end, and then Peyton Turner, I guess.
I think you're right. All right, we'll see how that goes.
And the Bills have they had Cole Beasley and Tremaine Edmonds on their injury report, but they were both full participants, so they're fine. They're good to go. So we'll see. You know, hopefully we can get Teron Armstead back, because Landon Young, who was filling in last week, he's out for the rest of the season with a foot injury, and it requires surgery. And then also Trevor Siemian was on the injury report, and Taysom Hill. Both were full participants all week though in practice. So that's good. Ty Montgomery, he was a full participant. So there's, that gives us a little bit of firepower, but man, the cupboard's getting pretty damn bare.
Yes. Yes, it is. I don't know what the deal is. LSU and the Saints have both been dealing with injuries all season, and it's the vast majority of them on both teams are people that you kind of need out on the field. You're not going to win with that many of those kinds of players not playing.
Exactly. So I don't know, man. You know, we always make that joke about we never pick against the Saints. Real tough not to pick against the Saints.
How about we just don't have predictions this week?
Let's just predict that everybody has a wonderful, happy, and safe Thanksgiving. I'll predict that.
Yes. Yeah. Don't fry your turkey under the carport or in the house, and then everybody will be good.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, man, I don't even know where to begin, really. You know, after watching the game on Sunday, I don't understand. I mean, I get it. The offense is pretty damn depleted, but the defense didn't help at all. And there was some. I don't get this whole, we have to wait until the fourth quarter before we start our offense. Yeah. It's just not going to work, and it's unfortunate because now we're getting into the meat and potatoes of the schedule. And you got Buffalo this week, you've got Dallas the following week. Then I think there is a little bit of a break because you get the Jets, but then you come right back and have the Bucks, and you're playing Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, that may not go the way that the first game went.
Exactly.
Well, then to add insult to injury for this past weekend, not only did the Saints lose, but the Titans got completely manhandled by the Houston Texans of all teams. I mean, what? Right. I don't understand what is going on just in the NFL in general, really.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you look at some of these, standings, and I mean, it's still wide open in a lot of regard. I mean, you've had teams like the Packers who've stood out at, what are they, 8-2? I'm sorry, 8-3. Eight and three. Dallas 7-3. Tampa 7-3. Arizona 9-2. The Rams 7-3. It's still, I mean, it is still anybody's race in a lot of these divisions, but it's getting to that point though. I mean, there's only seven games left in the regular season. Yep. And if the Saints were to, realistically, they could win four out of the seven. You know, anything I think over that is lanyap. But even at that, you're looking at a 9-8 season, and is that going to be good enough to get into the playoffs? I don't know.
And I know this isn't really saying much, but Atlanta has been looking better in the later part of the season so far. And I mean, they're Atlanta. They can still, become Atlanta again. But if they continue doing at least just as good as they are, and the Saints, this is not a fluke. The Saints are actually not doing very good. Atlanta could jump us.
Absolutely.
That'll make it hard, really hard, basically impossible to get a wild card spot.
Yeah, because I mean, right now you look at it, the Rams are more than likely going to get one of those wild card spots. But then everybody else is 5-5, or closed. Carolina's 5-6, Atlanta's 4-6, the Eagles are 5-6 and have a tiebreaker against us. So that's not good. Same way with Carolina and Atlanta for that matter. And then you have the 49ers, they're 5-5 and they've been playing really well also. So if the Saints don't start getting their act together soon, it's going to be too late. And then, you think about it, And I don't want to look at it like this, because I think if you can, like, making it to the playoffs in this season, I think what we talked about all summer long, I think that was realistic. Winning the division, I don't know. Maybe, truthfully, had the injuries not happened, winning the division, I think, could have certainly been an option. But at this point, I think we got to go with our original thoughts and just, you know, if they can make the playoffs and make some noise, I think that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. If they can make the playoffs this year, I'll be happy. This is not one of those years where I expect that, oh, well, they may have a chance of going to the Super Bowl.
No. And hopefully tomorrow, and I haven't seen anything about it, but tomorrow during the halftime of the Saints and Bills game, Drew Brees is going to be honored. So I'm hoping that they'll carry that locally at least. Because I mean, I don't know if they would carry that nationally because it's a nationally televised game. But I'm hoping that we get to see that at home, because I think that's really cool deal. And I did see an interview with him earlier in the week, and he was point blank asked, is there any chance that he would come back? And he said, no.
I saw that a while back as well. So he's said it twice now. So,
yeah. And I have to say that it did hurt my heart a little bit that he said no. But at the same time, I mean, would you really want to put, I have so much respect for Drew. I don't want to put him out there in this position anyway. So
I'm pretty sure he hasn't been practicing with the team.
Right. And then he goes out and plays with essentially, a second string team.
Yes.
That's not ideal for anybody. I don't even know if Philip Rivers at this point would want to go do that, but, it is what it is. So we'll just, only thing you can do at this point, and this is what I kind of have succumbed to this week, is, I'm just going to watch Saints games to enjoy them, and whatever happens.
So. Yep. Enjoy it because it's football.
Yep. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk some Thanksgiving stories. And we got some other stories. We'll talk a little bit more about the NFL and, some of the games that are going to be happening tomorrow, and then we'll wrap things up with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. All right, you're listening to the Something to Say Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. I love you. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey. To eat so good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say Radio Show on WGSO 990 AM. So in honor of Thanksgiving, I thought it would be only the proper thing to do to do some stories, some funny stories from Thanksgiving. And there's a few of them, and they're not long stories, so I didn't want to completely bore everybody, but some of them are kind of funny. And then before we get to it, the personal story I always think about is when I was a kid, I had a Siamese cat, and my grandfather wasn't a big cat person. And my cat, he pretty much did what he wanted to do, as most cats do. Cats. But yeah. My mom, she got everything ready for Thanksgiving and putting it all on the table. And the cat jumped up and took a big, huge bite out of the turkey right after she put it on the table. And my mom looked at me and said, "Don't you dare say it. Well, I'll clean it up. Don't you dare say a word in front of your grandfather about this."
Pretty sure that's not how.
Oh no, that's
pretty
not
sure,
how.
Yeah, pretty sure that's not how Janice said it.
No, absolutely not. But no words was said that Chong took a big bite out of the turkey. And he took a huge bite out of the turkey. For being such a little guy, he took a big bite.
That's actually how we got Morris to come home. Our cat ran off for months, and the way that we got him to come home after the hurricane. We had to, it had been long enough. We had to cook everything in the freezer. And once we were done, we cooked way more than we could eat. And so I didn't care. I just left the food sitting out on the table outside, you know, whatever, throwing it away. Isn't going to do any good. Just make the house smell. And the next morning I noticed that the tinfoil was ripped open and a bunch of stuff was eaten. And later on that night, Morris finally came home for the first time in 2 or 3 months. So,
well, at least he came home.
Yes, exactly.
So this came from littlethings.com, and I'm not going to read them all, like I said, but this, they're all pretty short, but this one just reminded me of my wife and some of her stories. this was in 1974, headed to grandma's house, and not to say that it's all because of the date, that's what this quote was. 1974, headed to grandma's house. The 20-pound cooked turkey was in the back seat of whichever jalopy my father was driving at the time. We turned a corner and the door flew open. See ya. And we still ate it.
Oh, God. That does sound like a Brenda story.
It doesn't it? It's very much one. Another one was, my boyfriend's 80-something-year-old grandmother felt me up as she passed me some pumpkin pie. Not sure if she was just trying to get a gauge on the goods or if she was just drunk, but it was certainly interesting. Wow, Grandma. This one, it could be any number of people that we know. Our family had to sing Jingle Bells to my wife to wake her up to get her into the car because she had too much wine.
They've got to be from Louisiana.
Right. And then we had another one here. I invited my best friend and her significant other and a guy I was dating over for the first time, for my first time cooking a turkey. We drank 6 bottles of wine. Damn.
Wow.
6 bottles, right? 6 bottles of wine. And when my date's phone rang, I answered it thinking it was funny. I started talking to his buddy, and it turns out we had another person in common. Another guy was dating. My date was not impressed. We stopped dating, but it was the best turkey that I'd ever eaten, though. let's see here. I don't even understand that. My mom loves to talk about the maturity of my eggs. Yes, my eggs. And how we should sprinkle holy water on my boyfriend. Yes, that was said at the table.
She's talking about her fertility eggs, I feel yes. like.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so this one's kind of funny, and I could have seen any of my grandparents saying this. Every year, my grandmother will say, "I don't know if I'll be around to do this next year," and it's so damn awkward.
I can imagine.
Let's see. Every Thanksgiving, this could happen in Louisiana easily. Every Thanksgiving, I insist on having pearl onions. Anyhow, my loving wife picked them up and cooked them. We sat down to eat, and my son and I went at the onions right away. Instant sour face. Turns out that they were cocktail onions for drinks and had lots of vinegar in it. We both were hysterical, and everyone thought we were having seizures. Gotta love it. So there you go. I'm sure there'll be plenty more stories after tomorrow of all the fun things, especially around here, because not only is it Thanksgiving, but then we have a Saints game on top of it, and I'm sure that people will be partaking in adult beverages. And so I'm sure that the stories will only get better and better. So all right, Mike, let's take a break. We'll get some news and we'll come back. We've got some news about St. Louis and the Rams settling their squabble, and a couple other stories. And we'll talk about some of the other games that's going to be happening in the NFL. You're listening to the Something to Say radio show. We'll be back right after this.
Turkey for me, turkey for you.
Let's All right, gang. Eat Welcome the turkey back to the Something in my to Say big radio brown show. Shoe. We talked a little bit about Thanksgiving before the break, and we previewed the Saints. But a big day in St. Louis, and I don't know if people in St. Louis are giving thanks or if they're even more pissed off. It depends on how you look at it, I guess. But yeah. The Rams and the NFL did settle their lawsuit, or the Rams and the NFL settled their lawsuit with the city of St. Louis today over the Rams moving to St. Louis or to Los Angeles, which as a person who lived in St. Louis, I can tell you that I 100% wholeheartedly believe that they were not negotiating in good faith back then, but they did settle the lawsuit today, and Rams owner Stan Kroenke is going to have to pay $790 million.
Whew. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of dough. And
I've ever even met anybody who's worth that much money.
Well, you know, and that's what we talked about when they were building the SoFi Stadium. That was originally slated to be a $2 billion stadium and ended up costing five. Now you throw another, another $790 million on it. You ended up three times the amount of what you were projecting. That ain't good. It's not good business.
And wasn't St. Louis going to pay for half or two thirds or something of the new stadium there?
Yeah, excuse me. It was going to be a $1.1 billion stadium on the riverfront. And I know that $400 million of it was going to come from taxpayer dollars, which is unheard of. Yeah. And I think the city and the the convention center group, I forgot what they're called, but they were going to kick in some, and the Rams weren't going to have to pay very much. And just to put it into perspective, for the city to come up with a $1.1 billion stadium on the riverfront, that's a big thing for that area. And the fact that the taxpayers were going to kick in $400 million, also unheard of, because I can tell you when they built the new Busch Stadium that opened in 2006, that was a huge ordeal because it was voted down that no tax dollars would go to it. That was all self-financed by Bill DeWitt Jr., the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals. So, even the Cardinals tried to negotiate and say, oh, well, there's plenty of property on the Illinois side of the river. We can just build it over there. That was never going to happen. But, and part of this deal is when the Rams, they had the opportunity to upgrade, because part of the deal was they had the city of St. Louis had to keep the Edward Jones Dome as a tier one stadium in the NFL. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I ever walked in there, I didn't think it was a tier one stadium. That was when it was brand new. But needless to say that whenever it came time and Kroenke slipped in at the midnight hour, literally buy the team and invoke his minority ownership, they wanted to do $700 million in upgrades to the stadium. And the city said, no, it wasn't worth it. And truthfully, it wasn't worth it. At that point, you're better off just building a new stadium. So they went through all the hoops that they needed to go through to do so. Talked to the NFL and obviously that stuff people just don't do that work for free. So, it cost them, I think, $4 million in just like consulting and things like that. So, I don't know. And one of the things that the city wanted was to try to get another franchise out of the deal. That didn't happen.
I feel like they're going to have to get a few more cities on board to be able to, where they know for a fact that they can actually fund a stadium, et cetera.
Right.
And then I feel like the Rams are going to be included in that as well. Because there's been lots of talk, I mean, not from the NFL, but from the talking heads, about the NFL expanding to up to 40 teams. I mean, not everybody's saying 40, but that's the highest number I've seen. And so, you know, I feel like the Rams, I feel like St. Louis, the city that you used to live in, I feel like they will be included in that because of the way that they've gotten screwed over.
I think so too. And they've done a really good job of with the XFL and selling out those, you know, they were using the Ed Jones Dome for that and selling those games out with, granted that it was, you know, 25,000-30,000, but it got to the point before the pandemic that they were only using the bottom bowl of the Ed Jones Dome for XFL, but it got to the point they were opening up the entire stadium because they were selling enough tickets to do so.
Oh, wow. All right.
So that's showing that there is a good fan base there. And it's a sports town, I'll tell you that, because there ain't a hell of a lot of other things to do there. I think they got a bad rap, and the Rams did exactly what they were supposed to do and paint St. Louis as bad fans, not a sports town. Or saying that it's just a baseball town, and you being a St. Louis Blues fan, you know that that's not the case for St. Louis. They love the Blues just as much as they love the Cardinals. And then now, granted, historically, it wasn't always that way. However, it's a baseball town, but there's plenty of good sports fans in St. Louis. And I feel like it was a big ruse. And even if you look at Stan Kroenke, he looks like somebody who would be a villain in a movie about sports.
Yes, he does.
You know, like the way he wears pinstripe suits and the aviator sunglasses, and like he just looks like a guy who would be a villain in some type of sports movie. You know, like I was joking with my friend the other day, I'm like, maybe it'd be Major League 4, I don't know.
There you go.
But either way, you know, it's all settled now, and the city of St. Louis got almost $800 million out of it. So we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah, it worked out, I guess. It could have been a lot better, but for what it is, it's not a bad deal, I guess. And at the end of the day, with everything that could have gone wrong, I guess it's an okay deal.
Yeah, I would agree. I saw this article on Sunday, and I had to save it just to talk about it on the air, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think this is right. So I saw this article. It came out of San Diego, and last Friday, the headline was, authorities look to identify motorists accused of scooping up money on the freeway. Let's see here. Last Friday, the authorities were working to identify a driver suspected of pocketing money that went flying from the back of an armored car on Interstate 5 in Carlsbad. A call came in about 9:15 on Friday that the California, we'll just call them Chips, because that's what they are. Chips.
Yeah, of course, Chips.
Dispatchers about a large sum of money in the roadway, as well as drivers getting out to collect the bills. Man and woman were arrested on suspicion of taking cash after they got stuck on the freeway with their keys locked in their car, blocking traffic. To make a long story short, the armored car drivers, you know, they I guess because there was so much going on, they can't shoot these people. But so what they did was they took video of all of the people doing it and then turned it in. And I believe the FBI was looking for some of these people. And, you know, they put out there that if you didn't turn the money in, you would be prosecuted and go to prison. I'm like, you know, though, is it those people's fault? Because you didn't lock the back door of, and I mean, I've never been the inside of an armored car, but is just money just laying around so much so that you open the back door that money's going to fly out?
I guess so. Well, I got to say though, this is why you need to wear a mask, people. If they were wearing masks, they wouldn't have gotten caught.
Exactly. They said there was thousands of dollars that were scattered out on the road. And I'm looking at the picture of this guy. I mean, it looks like he's got got a couple of 20s, but it looks like mostly ones and fives in his hand. But still, you know, free money's free money. But I feel like if it hits the ground, it's yours.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody calls the cops on me when I find a $20 bill on the ground. I mean, come on.
No, exactly. So I just thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, you know, that's really not these people's fault, but you know, whatever. I guess it's not yours, so you got to make sure you give it up. Just real quick, because we got to take a break. But so tomorrow, you've got the Bears and the Lions at 11:30 in the morning. I look for the Lions to win this game because Matt Nagy's apparently he's going to get fired after the game. Yeah, so what motivation does he have to win that game? And then you have the Raiders and Cowboys at 3:30. I'm going to plan on eating around 3:30, I think.
Yeah.
So exactly. I don't have to worry about this. And then, of course, tomorrow night you have the Bills and the Saints. And let's just hope for the best, gang.
Yeah. So my fingers are crossed.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up the week with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. We'll be back with more right after this. All right, we're back, gang, with more of the Something to Say radio show. Last segment of the week, and even if it's not Friday, we're still going to do some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot in just a few minutes. So do want to touch just a little bit more on the NFL this week. There's some interesting games. One being that really sticks out to me is that hopefully the Colts can knock off the Buccaneers after they just took care of the Titans last week. It is in Indianapolis, and I'll give Indianapolis credit. They do have a good defense, so we'll just have to see, man. I don't know. The Buccaneers, they had a little rough patch, but like every team does during the season, but I would still have to lean on the Buccaneers winning that game.
Yeah, but
fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. And a game that will be interesting is the Steelers and the Bengals. There's always it's a rivalry game, and the records being similar, and they're, who would have thought we'd say this, but the Bengals, both teams really are fighting for playoff contention.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a really entertaining game to watch. And that's probably the one that I'll watch at noon on Sunday.
I probably will as well.
And then you have at 3:00, the Packers and the Rams, which apparently Aaron Rodgers has a broken toe, and it's not COVID toe. Like I didn't know it was a thing, but people are saying he has COVID toe. But he is going to have surgery on it, whether or not they do have a bye after this week. So I don't know if he's going to play. They said he's day to day. But I would assume that he probably would, because that's a huge game and a lot of playoff implications are with that on ranking and where they'll fall. And I don't, if both teams could, if they could tie, that would be really awesome. That's what I'm going for. Just tie. Other than that, Ravens and Browns, you don't really know what you're going to get out of that. That's the Sunday night game. I would think the Ravens would pull that game off, but you really never know. With the way things have went this year, it's so hard to pick.
I was literally about to say the same thing. The way things have gone for both teams, there's no telling. It just depends on which team shows up for both teams.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. And then Monday night you have the Washington football team and the Seattle Seahawks in prime time. Both teams, Seahawks are 3-7 and the Washington football team's 4-6. And also I read more reports this week that the love affair between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson is just about over. So look for Russell Wilson to be on the move after the season's over with. And I'm just going to say, like we've said before, I think he'd look pretty darn good in black and gold.
I'll help him find a house. I mean, I'm not a real estate agent, but I'll help him if he needs it.
Maybe he can talk with Effie Chazon from Real Talk Revolution here on WGSO 990 AM.
There you go.
She can hook him up with something real nice. So all right, well we got about 6 minutes left, so let's go ahead and wrap things up with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So Mike, will you do the honors?
All right. Florida school board member under fire for taking elementary age kids to a gay bar on a field trip.
Oh, neat.
Florida school board. Remember, this isn't a teacher. This is a school board member. A Florida school board member is under fire after saying she was, quote, honored to chaperone a group of elementary school students on a field trip to a gay bar, according to the Daily Mail. This is her quote. I was so honored to be invited to chaperone Wilton Manors Elementary's field trip to the incredible Rosies. The students and I had a fun walk over and learned a lot about our community. A huge thank you to Rosie's Bar and Grill for hosting this special field trip every year. And happened more than once, apparently. Yeah, I normally read through these things a number of times, so that way I'm not stumbling over my words, but I was only able to read through it once. So Broward County School Board member Sarah Leonardi posted on her official school board Facebook page Wednesday, the Daily Mail reported. The post shows photos of the field trip with children in the bar sitting down and posing with the restaurant's sign. Rosie's Bar and Grill describes itself as a tropical oasis in an island city that offers, quote, amazing food and refreshing drinks and sassy fun, according to its website.
Oh my, that sounds like a blast.
Whether you come for lunch or dinner, for Sunday fun day brunch, or for just a few drinks, whether you're LGBTQ or LBGTQ or an ally, whether you're a local or visiting, whether you come with a group or venture out solo, you will have a miserable experience. Yes, they say that on the website, apparently. You'll have a memorable experience with the most talented crew in South Florida, the website read. See you soon. And this is the fun part. The bar features menu items like the Big Girl Burgers, Rhoda Cowboy, Ivana Hooker, Helena nice. Bun, Georgia Blue, Young Ranch Hand, and Cheesesteak.
And what was the last one?
Willie Cheesesteak.
All right.
It is unclear if the children were offered the same menu. Broward School District did not immediately respond to a request for comment on why a bar was chosen for a school field trip. Oh, okay, that was it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of questions of why you would do that. Yeah, first and foremost, regardless of whether or not it's a gay bar, straight bar, or any bar in between, why are they at a bar? I don't know what educational purposes that would serve.
Really? I have no problem with a gay bar. I went to a gay bar a while back with our neighbors across the street. But you're bringing elementary children to a gay bar that has menu items called Rhoda Cowboy and Ivana Hooker and Young Ranch Ham. I mean, come on now.
Right. I think there's a lot of questions those kids are going to probably have when they get home.
Exactly.
And those would be questions I wouldn't want to have to answer for an elementary school kid.
No. Yeah, can you imagine your 9-year-old walking up to you and asking you questions about that? We were supposed to have this conversation when you were 14. What do I do?
Right. Well, so we got a couple minutes left. Let me share this one with you. This actually comes from Toronto. Walmart pulls children's toy that swears and sings in Polish about doing cocaine. An Ontario grandmother who bought an educational toy for her 15-month-old granddaughter was shocked when the dancing cactus started swearing and singing about doing cocaine. This toy uses swear words and talking about cocaine use, Anita Tanner told CTV News in Toronto. This is not what I ordered for my granddaughter. The cactus was sold on Walmart's website as an educational toy for about $26 and sings songs in English, Spanish, and Polish. But Tanner, who is Polish, said when she listened to the Polish lyrics, the cactus was singing about doing cocaine, drug abuse, suicide, depression, and used profanities. It just so happens that I am Polish, and when I started to listen to the songs and I heard the words she said, I was in shock. I thought, was this some type of joke? The song is by Polish rapper Sipus, who is reportedly unaware his song was used by the Chinese manufacturer of the children's toy. It's about taking 5 grams of cocaine and being alone. It's a very depressing song, Tanner said. This singing cactus toy was also sold in Europe through Amazon, and in July 2021, other families also noticed and complained about the lyrics that many felt were inappropriate for a child's toy. Jeez, you think? The Polish artist said he planned to take legal action against the Chinese company for using his song without permission. CTV News Toronto was unable to contact Cypress or the manufacturer for comment. Tanner said she feels Walmart should not be selling the toy and wants a refund. Walmart told CTV News Toronto that they take the customer complaint concern seriously. These items are sold by a third-party seller on our marketplace website. We are moving the items while we look into this complaint further. That was a relief for Tanner, who said, I just don't want anybody before Christmas to think this is a great toy and go online and have the same thing happen that happened to me. Some may have already had the dancing cactus toy, and if they don't speak Polish, they wouldn't know what it was saying. Complaints with the toy go back almost 5 months, so it's not clear why the toy is still being sold. Number one, what a crappy gift to get. Like, if I was a kid and got a dancing cactus that sang, I'd be like, oh, thanks. Although it does take it, it does take it up a notch that it's singing about cocaine and and being depressed and suicide. But yeah,
if somebody would have got me that when I was 25 and they would have told me what it was saying, that'd have been the greatest gift in the world. But when I was 8, give me some Legos or a Nintendo game.
Right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. We got to get out of here. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. Enjoy the time with the family. And Mike, until then, I guess we should just play Gloria.
I love it.